Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the flagship episode of Paperback Bromance. Of course, I am Matt, and I'm here with David and Phoebe. How you going?
How we doing? We're doing good, man.
How we doing, guys?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Great.
I love that. Great. I'm doing pretty well, too, actually. Yeah.
That's good. I got to say, the drive here was absolutely breathtaking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Those fall leaves.
Dude, just driving through the countryside in Maine is freaking fantastic.
Especially out where you live. There's a lot of great scenery around there.
Anyway. Oh, man. Yeah, it's hilly. It's mountainy. It's farmy. Got a lot of farms.
Yeah, it's always going to put you in a good mood.
I saw a really cool, like, restored tractor just chilling on the side of the road for sale.
And I'm like, tempting.
I'm like, oh, man, if we get that sweet ad revenue.
I
could park that in front of my
right?
my house. Use it to mow your lawn. Just put a bush hog on the back.
Oh, yeah, I love bush hogging.
Speaking of bush hogging, I got some good news at a doctor's appointment the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah,
about
yeah.
About your bush or about your hogging?
Well, I'm not the father.
Oh, well, that's what. Wait, hold on. What?
It turns out I'm not the father, so that's great.
That's a good thing.
It's going to save me a lot of money.
I have a lot of questions for you right now.
Yeah.
You should have a lot of questions.
We're going to.
That's reasonable.
Table that one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, why don't we get into this book this week? To start things off, we are reading California Woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting tale, to say the least.
Yeah, this is written back in 1980, so older than all of us sitting here at this table.
True story.
Yeah, and written by Daniel Knapp and taking place during the very beginnings of the initial warmongering, jury intimidation, racism, and extreme nationalism, profiteering, prospecting, political corruption, none of that in that order, and the eventual outbreak of the aftermath of the Civil War, all while we're trying to make California a state.
Some of my favorite things right there. That's what I love doing most of the time.
So the story follows the remarkable life of Elizabeth Purdy Todd, not her name in the book. We'll get to that. She overcomes incredible odds, surviving the fate of the Donner Party. We all know who the Donner Party is, right? Donner Party of Five.
Yeah, they used
Donner
to eat
Party,
people.
Party of Four. Donner Party of Three?
That's, no.
They kept going down in numbers for some reason.
So this remarkable woman becomes like a silent figure. This is obviously historical fiction with all kinds of the romantic undertones, but she eventually becomes like the silent founder of the Democratic Party and the state of California.
Oh.
And the queen of the railroad.
And the queen of the railroad, all while wearing awesome veils and fantastic hats.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that. But, you know, why should we should get into the reasons for that. And maybe we should segue to our first segment.
Oh, a little bit of Matt-splaining?
Oh, we need to Matt-splain this main character.
We do love it when Matt-splains.
So, folks, dear listeners, we have to remember that this podcast is full of spoilers. If you want to take this journey with us, hit pause. Go grab yourself a copy of California Woman. Good luck trying to find it.
Yeah.
It should not be.
It's
probably on eBay.
It could be on eBay or perhaps a Kindle. Then press that play button and come back and listen with us. Anyway, Matt. After reading the first and last chapter of this book.
That's all I read. I don't read much.
Tell us about this fantastic character.
Yeah.
Well, as you said, her name is Elizabeth, at least initially, but she goes by Esther the entire time, which I think is a downgrade in names. That's not as good as of a name.
Oh, no, it's old-timey.
It's old-timey. Yeah. I'll it's an old lady name, but she's not an old lady.
No.
You know?
She's an old soul.
She's an old
especially
soul.
Especially after what she's gone through, but.
See, it turns out that old ladies aren't just born old ladies. They start off as babies, become young ladies, and then they're old ladies. Yeah, I know this because I went to med school.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right.
Well, I went to a med school. I was in the wrong building.
Oh.
Yeah. So I didn't go for very long.
Okay,
fair enough.
But it's still on my resume.
All right. I mean, hey, it's valid.
Yeah, it happens.
Checks out.
So we start off and she's on a train, a very fancy train that she owns, as they're trying to really open this railroad up, connecting California and Utah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Expanding the country.
That's where the story starts, but it's not where it really starts. This is very twisty, turny. We start with the beginning, the beginning with the end of the story.
Yeah, very reminiscent of our good friend Tarantino.
Right, right. So as you brought up the Donner Party, she's on a ski trip or something like that, you know, and they end up getting stuck in the woods, in the mountains, in the snow.
Yeah, real fancy ski trip. Yeah.
And they end up... Well, they end up starving, of course, and eating people. Like,
what?
Yeah. Oh, they roasted a baby over a fire. Her baby, actually.
No.
Like a hot dog.
No.
I swear. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I didn't do it. I don't condone that sort of thing.
We just read about it.
We just read about it. And so it's a little unfortunate. Mm.
Now I'm going to have nightmares, so it's fine.
Yeah. 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 Lots of nightmares.
There's going to be... That's not the only thing that's going to cause nightmares about this book. So while she's in the woods, in the mountains... with this guy, Luther Mosby, who's a real asshole. He's the one that roasts the baby.
Mosby.
No one likes him, Mosby. He's rapey, and he's just a really bad guy. Bad guy. So she ends up losing two fingers and part of her nose due to frostbite.
Oh.
So she meets another doctor guy through a friend of hers that amputates the two fingers. They save her nose. Because she's too pretty. She's too comely, they say.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, would you want to live without a nose?
No, I probably wouldn't. No, you just have a couple of holes like right in the middle of your face. Voldemort, exactly.
Yeah,
you
look like
Voldemort.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want that.
No.
So because of that, she's constantly wearing gloves packed with cotton to cover up the fact she's missing fingers and a veil.
Oh.
Hats and veils. She constantly looks like she's coming from a funeral. And the way this book goes, she kind of is constantly coming from
a supervillain.
Or she's a supervillain. But she's actually the hero of our story. She's
very much so.
She's a very strong, independent woman. And that's rare in this time to be an independent woman.
Yep, it was Beyonce vibe.
Very hard to do because, again, this is in the 1800s, 1844, was it? 77?
Yeah, 1845 is where I think we kind of start. So it goes to like the early... Yeah, like 40 years after that.
Okay.
So like 1890s.
So she's a very strong, independent, and promiscuous woman. Yeah, she sleeps her way through the railroad and everything else. And she uses sex as a weapon, as it's referred to. She'll lure you in and get what she wants from you. Then she's done. Yeah, she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
You can come and get in my holes, but I'm getting something out of it.
Whoa.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's essentially
our character. Yeah, okay.
This is my favorite part of story time.
So she was born Elizabeth Purdy in Vermont. So we start our tale in Vermont through some personal tragedy. Like she loses her father. She becomes a school teacher at the age of 16, all due to the flu. Wear a mask, people.
Yes, please.
Get your flu shot.
So
they're free at certain pharmacies these days.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
So after losing her father, her mom's like, I'm going to take this little trip to Boston and come back with a new husband.
As one does.
And, you know, he's like,
got to go get one of those Boston boys.
Got to get one of them Boston boys. He comes back and is immediately, I mean, it gets real like he wants Elizabeth more than the mom. So
super creepy.
So she's just like, well, I'm going to ship you off to Ohio where you can go live with your aunt. You know, so I mean, this woman's already been shoved off.
To Ohio, of all places. You don't want to be in Ohio.
I mean, this is Ohio in the 1800s. There's not a whole lot going on there.
They didn't even have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nope.
Or the Football Hall of Fame.
Nope, not yet. Not yet.
That's the only thing good about Ohio.
She meets a man while working at her aunt's like general store, and she becomes this like, she's becoming a more independent, intelligent woman. She's making these great choices. She's like, I met this guy. He's obviously the one for me. He's got this great dream, gonna move out to California, or what we don't know yet is California, but to the West Coast.
All right, yeah.
I think we just know it as like
there's Canada. Gold in them there hills.
Well, we don't know that there's gold there yet, man.
Oh, but we're gonna find
before,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, now we know it.
Now we know it.
She didn't.
So I mean, through everything that she goes through, she just becomes this incredibly remarkable person that you have to read the end of the book to find out what happens to her. You know, starting, I mean, she goes, lives through the Donner Party, man. And that's in the first 50 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, we start off with that.
Yeah, holy and then, smoke. So yeah, you want to, the character becomes so engaging that you want to get to the end of the book.
Yeah, so she, like, I low-key want to be her.
I mean, I wanted to get to the end of the book.
I want to keep my fingers and everything.
Right, right, yeah, but like, she's a super strong, amazing woman.
I mean, I wanted to get to the end of the book so bad, I didn't even read the middle part.
I mean,
that's your job, though.
I mean, it all fills itself in, yeah, you can put it together.
Okay. I mean, true freaking pioneer is how right. I... stylize this character.
Yeah.
She really, really is.
Kind of like Dr. Quinn Medicine.
Oh my word.
Yeah, that's awesome. That.
Yes.
That's awesome. Except she can't do medicine.
No,
she
cannot do medicine. No. We don't want her to. No. Okay.
Though I she wouldn't can, be surprised she can if she tries. She can definitely
she
do
can
the
do
sex.
The sexy sex.
And yeah, she does her it words, a lot.
She uses it as a weapon.
Yes.
All right, man. So I think that covers the character. Yes. Elizabeth Purdy.
That does cover the
slash Esther. What do you think is going to happen in this story? What do you think? Because you've talked about trains. No planes or automobiles. Because
there's a lot of trains. There's a lot of trains.
Yeah.
This is a very train-centric book.
Towards the end, sure. Towards the end.
It starts off in a train. It ends in a train. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's all train. It's all train all the time. She's having sex on the train. She's got her son with her on the train, and he gets to ride with the conductor until they get to Reno.
Whoa.
Right?
Right. This is the last chapter, right?
And she's, well, I'm starting with the first chapter where the book starts up. You know.
I mean, we learn that first. Towards the end of the chapter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she's on the train. She's in a very nice train car all to herself because, y'all, it's her train. It's gilded. There's gold everywhere. There's wood, rich mahogany, and leather-bound books.
They really decked out this car.
They really did. And she's got her
caboose.
In the caboose. Yep. There's a lot of caboose in this one. She has her nanny with her, an Indian woman named Solana.
Native American.
Yes, right. Not our words. They say it a lot. Even though she has a name.
True.
She has a name. They call her Indian woman multiple times throughout the book.
We're not going to do that, though.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to call her by her name.
People.
Solana is her name.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a son of her own. Well, she did, but... We'll get to that. We will get to that. So she's taking care of Esther's son, and they are out for revenge. This Mosby character, she has made it her life's mission to either ruin or kill him. And
or both if she can.
Or both if she can. And guess who's on the train with her?
Big old Mosby.
Luther Mosby. That's right. So that's the whole point of this book. Bring this guy on a train ride and then kill him. Make him dead.
All right.
And she does, eventually.
Eventually, yeah. She deads him.
She deads him.
Oh.
And so, along the way, all sorts of hilarity ensues.
Hilarity.
Yeah. As she's just sleeping her way through the West Coast.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In fantastic fashion. She's got huge bosoms.
Yes.
A great rack, as they're described.
Yes.
Yeah.
A fantastic.
Mm-hmm. A boyish figure, but a fantastic rack and a comely face.
Yeah. Minus the nose.
Minus the nose. But you can't tell that because of the veil.
The veil.
That's true.
So that's most of it. Yeah, that's pretty much the whole book. It starts on a train. It ends on a train.
Okay. Wow.
She kills her nemesis.
Yeah.
She has multiple children along the way, which she keeps naming after their fathers, but in terrible ways. So her first son, she named Todd because his father, his last name was Todd.
Yep.
Doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex
doesn't
Todd.
Make sound at all.
She has a son by rape from Mosby.
What?
And she names him Moses. Why would you name your son after your rapist? I don't know.
I don't know.
Not my
maybe
problem.
Maybe it was just part of the time.
Well, we'll get to that.
She also had a daughter.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
Had a daughter?
She had a daughter because she ended up marrying like a senator or something, or a senator's assistant.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah. At the end of the book, in the epilogue, they talk about how her daughter was just as oversexed as she was.
Wow.
Their words, not mine.
All right.
Again, well, again, their words, go. Not mine.
Again, this is a romance novel written by a man from a woman's perspective because... That's so exactly what that. We need is more opinions by straight white males going around.
So the plot of this story is very kind of reminiscent of the Count of Monte Cristo. Like, yeah. You know, it's the ultimate end goal is revenge and murder, but in the wild, wild west of what is going to be California. So we meet Elizabeth in Vermont. She goes to Ohio, meets Alexander Todd, and they quickly fall in love and they do the business, and she ends up pregnant.
Oh. As right? one does.
Oops. As one does, ends up pregnant. And
that's before the days of condoms, and his pullout game was not
it was
strong.
Not great. So he gets
the couch
word,
pulls out, but he doesn't.
He gets word from his cousin in Monterey Bay, what we will soon discover is going to become California,
okay,
for a job. Like, yo, come out here. I got this job. It's going to set you up for life. So they start making the trek, as a lot of people did from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
As the West Coast was not yet settled.
They were giving away land out there.
Pretty
like,
much,
go
dude.
Go yeah. settle it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they make it
to Oregon Trail.
They make it to like Colorado, and the pregnancy starts getting really difficult. Mm-hmm. So Alexander's like, you know, I'm gonna take off. I'm gonna go get ourselves established. You have this baby, get on that wagon train. I'll see you out there.
Mm.
So that all happens. She has the baby all successfully, finds a wagon train, and they start heading out. And of course, this turns out to be the Donner Party.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, so great people.
So what happens is, in the story, is it's not the story of the Donner Party. That happens. Elizabeth kind of gets separated because, you know, it's the wilderness. They've made some bad decisions, taken some wrong routes, all those fun
right,
things.
Right, right, yeah.
You make a wrong turn, you end up getting eaten. You got to be careful
right
out there.
So she decides to like try and go look for some women that had gone missing, and then she comes back and her party's gone. That's when she's like on her own, and she's got a newborn. She's wandering around in essentially a cloak in like fucking Utah.
And it's cold as it's, shit yeah, in the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. So she stumbles upon Luther Mosby, who's doing some trapping. And that's what he's going to be doing for the winter.
He's definitely doing some trapping.
Getting all them furs. He's got his partner, Siwash. And, you know, after, like, giving her some broth, because she's near dead, along
right.
with the kid.
Yeah.
But so, you know, they kind of, like, bring her back to health a little bit. And she's like, can you help me get to California? I can pay you what you're going to miss in the traps. So let's get
make it worth your while.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I got 300 big old Benjamins that I can pay you.
Ooh.
Right? And back then, that was a lot of money.
That was a lot of money.
So, you know, reluctantly, this guy's like, all right, let's do this. Of course, everything goes wrong.
Naturally.
Yeah. One of the horses, like, falls off a cliff. The Native American partner, Siwash, mysteriously dies. We're not entirely sure how. But it's highly implied that Mosby did it.
It's uh-huh. suspicious.
Yeah. Then one of the horses, like, breaks a leg or something like that. So it's the last remaining horse. So the Native American partner's dead. It's just her and Mosby and this one horse. The horse, like, dies from exhaustion.
Oh, crap.
And they're like, all right, we're going to just keep forging ahead, not realizing, like, oh, yeah, you just left about 1,000 pounds of meat behind you.
No.
Okay. Which then they turn around to go and find.
Which they try and go back. But of course, at that point, the horse is already frozen solid.
Because it's cold as shit.
So now, yeah. Now, this is where everything kind of goes off the rails, man.
Oh,
like, okay. They build a shelter.
Train pun.
And yeah, so they build a shelter. Mosby, in his delirium, is watching her try to nurse the baby. And this is where the baby roasting comes in. He rips the baby from Elizabeth, throws it in the fire.
What?
Yeah.
Cooks
throws the baby in the fire, our dear sweet Todd, and then
poor Todd.
And then drains her breast.
Ew.
He just drinks her right
so
up.
It's so wild, man. It is wild.
He's like, you know what?
And leaves her for dead.
I want some of that drink. Yep. I'm going to grab that.
Yeah. He takes off. He goes to do sweet fuck all. We have no idea. And she manages to get her bearings, gathers up her now very dead child, who's like half roasted, trekking through the woods. That's where she comes across the Donner Party, or what's left of the Donner Party. All right. Tries to feed the baby.
Because they've already been out there dying themselves.
And the baby's dead. She's, of course, you know, takes a couple nibbles for some sustenance.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. Yeah.
Not great. Not a good look.
So after some light cannibalism, she's walking along a frozen river and comes across a Native American tribe.
Okay.
Who takes some humanity and brings her to this, I think he's a Swiss national named Sutter. And that's where the doctor comes in, Matt, that you brought up.
Yes. Yeah. Sutter brings her to the doctor.
Sutter brings her to the doctor.
And he's the one that...
the frostbitten fingers. They spare the nose. They have to take off some of it, but
yes,
not
her
all.
Her new pal, Sutter, says, don't chop off the whole nose. She's too pretty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to kind of like reinvent herself at this point because she's really ashamed of what happened in the mountains, right?
So I wouldn't want to admit to that.
So she renames herself Esther Cable. Again, train reference.
Oh,
right.
Now, as Esther, she befriends the Native Americans, becomes the chief's sun sister. They build her a nice little cabin in the woods. Mr. Sutter gives her like a quarter mile on the American River, I believe it is.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, she starts to kind of like rebuild her life. You know, she doesn't have, and realizes that she's pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dear.
Yeah. From damn Mosby.
From Mosby doing his,
his rapey.
Oh,
yeah.
Yuck.
And she attempts to do the old fashioned, you know, pine stick abortion, whatever that is.
They didn't have coat hangers
back
then.
They did not have coat hangers back then.
Uh-oh.
But luckily, the Solana, this is where Solana comes in, and who is the chief's wife.
Right.
And is like, you can't do this. This is just an innocent baby. And she's like, okay, I'll save the baby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So meanwhile, cut to Mosby gambling with some Californios, also known as Mexicans, at a bull versus bear fight.
Oh, dear.
I love those.
What do you mean you love those?
We're talking about like at the gay bar, right?
No.
An actual bear and an actual bull.
Mad at this one.
Yeah.
I'm usually the bear, but this is a different.
Whoa.
Not.
Different.
Different thing. It's actual animals.
Okay.
It goes real
south. I don't
south.
Like that.
Mosby gets like mauled in the arm, and we meet this dude named Clausen and Joaquin Moretta. And Moretta is the one who is like betting against Mosby.
Oh.
Right? So he was betting for the bear. Mosby was betting for the bull.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And the bull like trips or something like that and gets killed by the bear.
Oops.
Right? Mosby blames Moretta for this. Like, you did this. You did this on purpose.
Definitely.
He's going to kill him.
Bull tampering?
Bull tampering. It's full on bull tampering.
That's
not even sports enhancing drugs. Just
bull
like,
tampering.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
That's an offense.
So they like beat the crap out of him, lock him in the cage with the bear.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
But he manages to like kick the door open or some crap like that. And like,
yeah, you don't
want to
be stuck
the window.
In a bear cage.
And the bear, this is wild because we find out that this is all happening like just a few miles from Esther's cabin.
Oh my God.
So the bear is enraged and runs to Esther's cabin and breaks the door down.
What?
Right?
He's looking for some of that this sweet
is,
porridge.
This is quite the tie-in. Right.
This is a stretch and a half, but I'm here for it.
I know. And she had just given birth to this baby that she had from the incident.
The incident.
And
it's a small world, man.
I know.
His bear gets loose as she's birthing his baby.
And the chief, Milwaukan, who has made her his sun sister, carved her a spear just by chance, right?
Just happened to do it.
Just by chance happened to do it. So the bear breaks in to the door and she manages to kill the bear with the spear.
Lucky day.
Right? Oh. So now this woman is even stronger, cooler, and more awesome because she's killed a bear with a spear.
She just
have you killed a bear with a spear? I haven't killed a bear with a spear.
I have not.
So, and then what happens later is Moretta stumbles into the property, you know, pretends like yo no soy hablo inglés, but she nurses him back to health. And then he writes her like this lovely letter of telling her how beautiful she was and how thankful he is because, yeah, he did speak English the entire time. So Moretta disappears into the night. She's got her boy Moses. And next we discover she's been collecting these really pretty yellow rocks out of the river.
Yeah.
I love yellow
rocks. Yeah.
I've been collecting rocks recently myself.
They're so cool, but they turn out to be freaking gold.
Oh.
So what?
She's got like pounds of and nuggets of gold.
Yeah, my rocks aren't that fancy.
Yeah, no, so she's essentially kind of like where Sacramento's going to be. So in the heat, and it's like all the gold.
It's hot up there. I've been there. There's a railroad museum, which is actually makes a lot of sense.
Maybe that was part of Esther's railroad.
So this is where she uses the gold to start her silent empire with the help of Moretta, who kind of like comes back out of nowhere to formally thank her, be like, thank you for not letting me die after being, you know, beat up by these dudes and semi-mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
That was very nice of her.
You know, Milwaukan is like saying that the gold is going to bring nothing but evil and death and all that stuff. And that's why they always used it as a sacrifice and would throw it into the waterfall of the river.
Where is that waterfall, actually?
Because I would like to dive into that waterfall.
We are going to be close by. We'll be in Nevada. That's kind of close.
It is.
Yeah,
it's like an Uber.
Esther becomes a silent partner in the mining business. So she takes her. That's where she starts investing. Not trains, Matt. I'm sorry, dude, but it was mainly mining.
Damn it!
Come on.
You know, because all these people are coming in. They're known as the 49ers.
The
minor 49ers. So she starts to become really kind of influential in the political scene with her old friend John Sutter, who's trying to run for a state senate and make California a state. In the Marine,
how do you run for a state senate for a state that doesn't exist?
So he's trying to become a senator
and somewhere else.
No, in and make California a state. He wants to become the first California senator.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So he's like going through all the motions and Esther's funding him. She's giving him the money to be able to run his campaign and all that fun stuff.
Because he essentially saved her life. So yeah. She kind of owes him.
And in the meantime, Moretta is obviously falling for Esther, right? And Milwaukin is getting really kind of strangely jealous about this whole thing. And it gets really weird. So Solana is just like, hey, you need to bang Milwaukin so we can kind of clear the air here.
Just got to, hey, bang my husband.
You just got to do this.
So he can just shut up about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's weirdly obsessed with you. We don't know why.
Fantastic
rack. It's got to stop. Well, I mean, it could be the fantastic rack.
It could be. Who doesn't love a fantastic rack?
So she's like asleep in the same tent as her, Milwaukin and Solana. And Solana's trying to do the sexy time. And, you know, Milwaukin storms out. He's like, I can't do this. I can't. You know, I'm not horny.
Your rack isn't fantastic.
Your rack is not fantastic. And this is where Solana accosts Esther. Is like, you got to go do this. You know, take one for the team, girl.
Weird proposition.
Right. Different times. So she heads to the sweat tent and finds, you know, a naked Milwaukin there. Kind of like, we're not going to say 6 to 12, but we'll say a solid 3.
Yeah.
All and right, she's hanging out.
She strips down and was like, all right, let's do this. And he's like, oh, I've made such a terrible mistake. And makes her smoke the peace pipe. She passes the fuck out, brings her back into the tent, not for some weird passed out sex, but just so that he is now fully ready to be with his wife while Solana's passed out over in the corner. Right. So I guess he just need a little voyeurism to get things going.
He roofied her to not have sex with
him. You got it. Because that's super normal.
Yeah. That's usually the opposite of what people are doing. But hey, props to him.
So she then takes Joaquin as her full-time lover. And they're doing their thing. And all this time, she's amassing all this wealth and plotting her revenge against Mosby.
She has all these yellow rocks making her all that money.
And then Joaquin gets mistaken for a thief because he's got brown skin. So, you know, he gets chased off and...
There's the racism.
Disappears. Yep, there's the racism right there. Even more of it. So she kind of like stumbles across Mosby. We time jump a lot in this book. And she's in San Francisco. California's been established as a state. She's in San Francisco doing something. I can't remember. It's something political. And she stumbles across Mosby. And so she's kind of like checking him out, doing a little mild stalking. And also finds out
that her
husband, Alex Todd, is in this same hotel that they're all staying at.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
It's a small world. This whole thing is just small world after small world.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Mosby's still super rapey and gets super rapey again until Todd, you know, kicks his door in, whips his ass.
Raper's going to rape. That's just what they do.
Yeah. Wow. And then we jump ahead again. And now Mosby's a fucking U.S. Marshal.
What?
Yes.
Because that's who you want in charge.
Right. And he runs into, remember the dude Claussen I mentioned at the bull bear fight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which was an actual bull and an actual bear, clarifying for Matt.
Yes.
And Claussen has been talking to these Native Americans from this village and been getting them real drunk. And they're like, hey, yo, we've been throwing these pretty yellow rocks into this river. You should go check it out.
What?
So Mosby and Claussen get like a gang together and they head to Milwaukin's village.
Oh.
Yep. This is where things go bad.
Yeah.
They beat everybody. They're trying to get the info, like, where's all the gold? And Esther's really mined all of it. Like, it's already kind of, it's gone.
There's not much left. She's been digging it up.
The only thing you could try and do is try and dive down under a waterfall. But I mean, dude, it's a waterfall.
Yeah, that's not safe.
You can't do that.
Crap.
So they kind of go off the rails. They kill Milwaukin by shoving a sharp stick in his ear.
No.
They, you know, slap around Solana and they assume that she's dead. And in the scuffle, they start torturing Milwaukin and Solana's son.
Oh, what?
So, you know, Milwaukin karate chops him and, you know, puts him out of his misery so he's not tortured or used as a further.
Oh.
Because he knows he's going to die.
Yeah. He's going to die anyway, so you might
as well.
That's
so sad.
Yeah, that sucks to have to kill your son, though.
It was awful, man. And luckily, I hate to say luckily, but luckily Moses was the son that was born out of the incident.
Yes.
For Esther, they brought him to priest school. So to learn to be a priest?
Sure.
Yeah. So he's not at the village. He gets to live.
That's good.
All right.
These people keep sending their kids away. I mean, she gets sent to Ohio. She sends her kid to priest school.
I know. They're just getting shipped off left and right, man. So as time passes, Mosby becomes a big-time lawyer in San Fran. Esther tracks him down again, albeit again by an accident.
He goes from being a marshal to a lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, the standards for the bar were really low at this point.
Yeah, literally low bar.
So she stalks him and finds out that he frequents a brothel like daily.
Yes,
so
the brothel.
As scene. One does. I mean, so, this guy is just horny as all hell.
She goes to the brothel.
He's getting hookers.
Learns the sexy sex ways and then tries to honeypot this dude. Yep.
Old-fashioned honeypot.
Good old-fashioned. And during the honeypotting, he like throws a cigar out the window and starts the Great Fire of San Francisco.
I love how creative this writer is.
They call it the Great Fire of San Francisco, but it was actually pretty terrible.
Yeah, it burned like most of the city down.
Yeah, that
was
rough.
All made out of sticks.
Great as in big, not great as in awesome.
Yeah, it was large.
Well, they should be more specific.
All right, so
now they started building things out of bricks
down.
After that.
She manages to escape the burning hotel, thinks Mosby's dead for whatever reason. I'm glad he's dead.
Well, of course, yeah. Who wouldn't hope that?
And lo and behold, she reunites with Moretta, who has been on the lam, has changed his name, and is now selling really nice saddles. He's a saddle maker.
Okay, All right.
So they become lovers for the better part of a year. He invents the lambskin condom. You know, good on him.
Someone had to.
And during this time, Mosby has been appointed to the Supreme Court. Like, this goes even worse.
What? Now he's the Supreme Court. This is the biggest asshole in the world. Yeah. He just keeps getting promoted.
Right. So this is historically accurate. There is a committee of vigilance that has been formed in California to take care of all the corrupt politicians.
Oh.
And Moretta decides to join it.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
So Moretta's now part of this, and he's going around trying to like get all the crooked politicians and who should he run into. Go ahead and guess, Matt. Take a wild guess.
It's Luther Mosby.
It's Luther Mosby, who he then shoots.
Yeah. Good.
Yep. So on a good side of things, along with Mosby, is that Alexander Todd has been doing well for himself, partially to Esther's influence. She's been kind of like talking good about him and being like, you know, I know about this guy. Maybe we should make him a judge too.
Yeah.
So he becomes a judge. He's got a new bride. Things aren't going well with the pregnancy. And she has a couple miscarriages and the new bride dies.
Oh, no.
So now we've got single Alex Todd and a single Esther, right?
And they're still holding a candle for each other.
Yeah, of course.
You're kind of the one Esther, that got away.
Esther knows that he has always lived and she's made sure that she's tried to flourish. Alex thinks she's dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Why didn't she go and find him if she knew where he was the whole time?
She was ashamed of what happened in the mountains.
Yeah.
So she just
was ashamed of the cannibalism and the rape, which I mean, you can understandably, she probably didn't go to therapy for it and really needed to.
I don't know if they had therapy back then. Really therapy then. they had bottles of brown stuff.
Yeah. Laudanum.
You just push it down with brown or you do cocaine about it.
So after a little time has passed, Bill Ralston, Esther's main business partner, who has kind of let her be silent and he's been the face of all her money, tries to play matchmaker with her and Alex, which is awful because she's supposed to be dead.
She's supposed to be dead and he's trying to set her up with her former husband.
Yeah, so he just like shows up at this house that she's built in San Francisco. So she's got a house in San Francisco. She's got the cabin on the American River where she was mining all of her gold. You know,
Must be nice.
She's got all the problems.
Must be nice.
She shows up with, Ralston shows up with Alex and she's just like, oh my word, I don't have my veil. And it's still light enough that you can see my face.
Oh no, you can't have that.
Yeah, so she.
Does anyone have a paper bag?
Runs inside, hides, come back outside to find out that Alex is kind of inebriated.
Oh, good.
And Ralston is taken off because they kind of had an argument. Like, stop playing matchmaker. Well, I thought she was perfect for you. So, whatever.
Turns out she is.
Yeah. And so, essentially,
good instincts.
He tells her the sob story of his wife dying and then his other wife dying. And then Esther pity bangs him?
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give a dog a bone.
Yeah. She kind of pity bangs him. And then.
And this is, she knows who he is and he doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's all dark and he's drunk and she's got a bag over her head.
Yeah. Well, she's wearing veils.
Sure. Yeah.
And she's like, all right, you know, that was great.
How do you explain that, I wonder?
I don't know,
you're just constantly
man.
Wearing a veil. It's like, it was my dad's funeral.
Just all the time.
Last week? Like, what?
So after he leaves and she pounds a bottle of port, wakes up hungover, and there's this dude knocking on her door.
Oh, dear.
By the name of Bull Carter.
Bull Carter.
Bull Carter. And she's like, hey. And he's like, hey.
Hey.
I heard you're single.
I heard you're giving out that pussy.
You want to get the married stuff going on.
Oh, boy.
You know?
And
you
straight up, just like.
And the undertone is like, you know, I heard you got a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, I'll marry your ass.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes is just somebody knocking on the door with flowers and be like, hey, I heard you're around.
He did have flowers.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, he did
just
have
flowers.
Just
like, hey, let's get married. And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yep,
I'm not busy.
So she agrees to marry him. She agrees to marry him. And she's just like, how dumb do you think I am? I know you're only after for the money after their one time, very mediocre honeymoon sex.
Tiny people.
Yeah. She soon finds out that she's pregnant yet
again. Are you kidding me?
He had just enough stuff.
Dog.
No, it's Alex's son.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But Bull just assumes that it's his.
Oh, goddamn.
Right? All right. Alex is trying to, Ralston set Alex up with another woman.
Naturally. And just keep doing it.
She goes to the courts, is like, I'm pregnant with this guy's dude, and he won't say, he says that it's not his.
All right. Ralston's a good dude. Talk about looking out. You know, he's just trying to make sure his buddy gets laid all the time.
Well, I mean, Alex didn't actually sleep with her. So Esther goes to bat for him, goes to the courts and like, hey, he was my secret lover, even though I was married and I'm carrying his love child.
Oh, right. No.
Yeah. And so, you know, she gets scoped out by this really skeezy doctor who tries to rape her.
What?
Everybody's trying to get a handful of this chick.
Only to confirm. Yeah, she's pregnant.
Like, right. Oh, look at that rack. Let me grab it.
We then find out that since Alex has learned of Esther's nuptials and everything, he's just like, okay, well, thanks for coming to bat for me. I'm gonna go do this war thing that's, you know, the Civil War.
It's time to go do a war, man. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
And so Esther's just going through the motions of this arrangement marriage thing that she's got going on. This is where Bull gets really involved in the railroad. And he's working in the Sierra Nevadas.
Told you it was
right. He's letting all the workers die by the hundreds and, you know, climbing accidents and all that fun stuff.
Another asshole.
Oh, wait.
And so we jump ahead in time. Yet another meanwhile, as I say.
Meanwhile.
We see Moses, who is done with his priest school.
Oh.
And he's just like, do I want to do the priest thing or do I want to do this railroad thing?
Uh-huh.
And so Esther approaches Bull and is like, hey, do you think you can bring this boy on as your kind of protege? He's my love child from a Native American.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
From back
and
in the
Bull's
day.
Like, ew. Gross. Racism.
He is. Oh, and he's just like, he says all those things and then is like, all right, because I love you so much, I'll take him on, and started showing Moses the ways of the railroad.
Well, that's nice of him.
And yeah, that was really nice of him. And so after like a year.
I mean, you don't have to steer a train. The tracks do it for you. Yeah, it's just go and stop is all you have to do.
So after like
not a lot of ways.
After like a year or so, Moses is kind of like done with his apprenticeship and Bull, I'm sure he had some drinks in him, is talking to Esther.
Who didn't?
Thinking that Moses is not in the room is like, I'm done with this. Their words, not mine, this half-breed mongrel in my life.
Oh.
That's not a nice thing to say about a person.
No. So Moses, of course, hears that. And after a little bit of petty larceny, he steals like a picture of his mom.
Oops.
Bounces. Of all the things to steal. There's gold everywhere. He's like, I want this picture of mother.
Nope. Yep. Bounces and joins the Civil War.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Esther throws herself into this school of orphans that she's built because, again, this woman has a heart of gold.
Yeah. She's very philanthropical.
Where she learns that Moses has been killed in action.
Oh, no. Moses,
yep.
No.
Cut down by Matt. Why don't you
Luther Mosby.
His own dad kills him in the war
with like a saber.
Yeah.
Duh.
Very personal.
It's not
killing.
Even like a cannonball or anything like
Stop
that. He cuts
it.
Him down with a sword.
And weren't they fighting for the same side?
No,
like, they weren't.
No. We were Mosby was fighting for the Confederacy.
Of course he was, because he's a racist piece of shit.
And Moses was fighting for the North.
Oh man.
Naturally.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't know why I say luckily, but Moses's best bud that he had made after enlisting witnesses all this and is able to convey it to Esther. Even and so she's now even more enraged at Mosby.
How could she not be? I mean, that this all explains why she's just out for vengeance the entire time.
That,
this guy has now killed two of her sons.
Yep.
And raped her on multiple occasions.
Yep.
Holy crap.
We'll get to that when Phoebe eats the stupid.
Oh, I'm going to read this soon.
So afterwards, she has to liquidate all her assets because the bank that she was dealing with fails.
It
went bankrupt.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The bank goes bankrupt.
The bank went bankrupt.
No,
but
not
so
good.
She's able to like sell her mining company to recover the losses. And she's like, all right, I'm going to take all this loot. I'm going to put it in a trust with her old buddy, her go-to guy, Bill Ralston. Right. And he's just like, this is going to make me even richer. So he buils a 1800s style McMansion and throws a big ass party.
As one does. Gatsby.
And Ralston's like, yo, I got this surprise for everyone. We need to welcome back my good buddy from the now ended Civil War.
Stop.
Alexander Todd.
Oh.
Yeah, not Mosby this time.
I thought you were going to say Mosby.
And so for the first time in decades, Esther has cut loose, has removed the veil and hat, and is, you know, dancing it up when...
Oh, no.
She had a couple ports.
She does a couple turns, and lo and behold, is face to face with her husband, who she thought was dead. No, who he thought was dead.
Right. Yeah. So they've been married this whole time because she wasn't dead. So his second marriage, third marriage, all of them.
None of them were real.
No, it was a sham.
All shams. So she jumps in her carriage and books ass 20 miles back to her cottage.
Oh my God, it's like Cinderella.
And of course, he follows her back and they have a reunite bone.
Oh.
And, you know, he's just like, oh, and she's like.
After the pity bang, yeah. then he gets a reunite bang.
And she's just like, oh, by the way,
you have a son. And he's named Todd because I'm weird.
They go through the daily routine of being a couple in hiding as Bull is mainly in the Sierras.
Make his name Todd.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Her husband's still alive.
It's Todd Carter right now.
Well, right. Bull thinks it's
his kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's out in the Sierras doing his thing, making the railroad, doing his railroad thing. Mm. And a case comes across Alex's docket because he's a judge.
Mm-hmm.
A woman claiming she's been cheated out of marriage by Ralston's shady business partner, William Sharon. Turns out it's the same chick that tried to pull the fast one by saying she was pregnant with Alex's kid.
Are you kidding?
Of course. So this is just the whole ruse all over again.
He recuses himself being the upstanding gentleman that he is, right?
I can't do that.
And becomes a witness for the prosecution. And guess who the defense attorney is?
Fucking Mosby.
Former Supreme Court Justice and overall asshole. Mosby.
God damn it.
This guy just keeps coming up everywhere.
Who, of course, has like seduced this woman and convinced her to do this.
Naturally. He's trying to get that paycheck.
And married her. And so during the trial, Alex is called to the stand, pretty much calls this swindler a swindler. And Mosby flips his shit, tries to kill Alex with his infamous Bowie knife.
Oh, boy.
Even though he's got a bum arm.
Right.
You're not supposed to stab people in open court.
Yeah, well.
Exactly. That's frowned upon.
So Mosby goes to prison for assault and contempt. And is disbarred, but vows to kill Alex for what he did.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. Later, we find out that Bull blown himself up.
Oops.
He done did blown himself up.
Oh,
playing railroad pranks.
Come on.
Like they would
railroad pranks.
They would set dynamite randomly in certain places and set them off for other people.
Oh, my gosh.
Unsuspecting other workers.
What?
Yeah. So he.
My name's Bull Carter. Welcome to Jackass.
So, yeah, he fucked around and found out, man.
Oh, no.
He sure did.
Okay. Well, that was silly.
So he blew himself up. Esther is free of him now. So she's, again, on the market. And it's a rumor from her old friend, Sutter. You remember Sutter?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. He's a hot mess, by the way, right now. He's just a hot mess express.
Yeah,
that Mosby is planning on killing Alex during the ceremony for the Central and Midwest Railroad joining in Utah.
Boy.
So this is where Matt picks up, and she is in the railroad car, and she's going to enact this plan to kill Mosby by giving him some of that sweet loving.
Oh, yeah. Luring him in with that.
Reminding him that she was the woman from San Francisco where he started the fire.
Right.
And he's never had sex like that before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. She learned her tricks.
Mm.
Exactly.
Oh wow. Okay.
So she convinces this jackass to walk across the top of the train while it's running to
smart.
Get some more of that sweet poontang.
That dude is meanwhile, so horny. I would not walk across the roof of a train just to get laid by some former hooker.
Nope. Meanwhile, she's got poison for him in like a drink, and she's got a little pistola hidden away, ready to take this guy out.
Yeah.
And then everything goes wrong.
I imagine it's like tucked into a garter belt or something.
Because unknown to Esther, and what Matt pointed out before, is that Solana has boarded the train with Todd, Alex and Esther's love child.
Oh.
All right. So Solana's the main sitter. What we then learn, because we didn't know this at all, is that Solana saw and witnessed Mosby killing her village,
her child.
And her husband.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
So she's got a grudge, too.
She has the ultimate grudge.
Yeah.
Because he took everything from her. She sneaks to the back of the train and interrupts this confrontation between Esther and Mosby. She has an ice axe and, like, ice axes Mosby, like, in the shoulder.
Just right in the shoulder.
Just right in the shoulder, dude.
And then it's just sitting there.
Mosby's got his pistola. He manages to get a shot off. Hits Solana. Esther stabs the shit out of him with a kitchen knife that she had in that awesome train car we were talking about.
She doesn't get to use the
trains
the
are awesome at pistola. Regardless of what you say.
Well, I mean, right. Trains are one of my least favorite ways to travel.
I know.
Slightly better than buses because they have a bar.
So Solana is just like, I'm going to take the killing blow because he did this to me. You know, come on, Esther. You give me this. I've taken care of your kid this entire time.
This is the least you can do for me. Let me kill the monster.
Oh, man.
So she throws Mosby and herself over the side of the train. Yep. Over the side of the train.
Into a ravine.
Into a ravine.
Whoa.
Like right in a river. This is like right down into a rocky river down the bottom.
Esther cleans up all the blood with some hot water from the kitchen in that kick-ass train car.
Right.
Actually. And no one ever asks, hey, weren't there two other people on the train when we get there?
And then,
like, what happened to Judge Mosby or whatever?
And then she gets to live out her days with Alex and Todd in her swanky-ass pad in San Francisco.
Nice.
The end.
She does.
Wow.
That's it.
Well, but there is an epilogue, though.
There is an epilogue. You want to talk about it?
I do want to talk about it, okay. Actually, because this was a very heartwarming part of the book.
Go for it, man.
She ends up passing away, as one does.
Yeah, she passes first.
Yep.
Okay.
And she gets cremated, which I didn't really know that people got cremated back then.
Well, we're talking in the early 1900s now. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the times yeah. there. We got the cotton gin now, dude.
So she's posting. That saves a lot of work. It does.
It does. Anyway.
So she, but invented by Eli Whitney. Anyway, I digress. Sorry, I'm full of random facts here. So now we flash forward. She's dead. She's in a jar or whatever receptacle Todd has her in.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And
we're going to assume it's classy.
Yeah, and it's probably classy.
This is a classy affair.
Yes, it is a classy affair. So we are now at the river where she threw her friend and nemesis off of a train.
Yep.
Dear.
And they died. Her request was to have her ashes spread in that same spot.
Yeah, where Solana sacrificed herself for her.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So he's standing on this frozen river
mm-hmm.
and spreads her ashes, and then he feels the ice begin to crack beneath his feet.
Because there has to be all the tragedy.
All the tragedy. All yeah, we can't have anything nice in this book. Nothing nice at all. So the ice starts to crack. He looks at the bank of the river and he's like, I could probably make it.
Yeah.
And
hold my beer.
And then he just doesn't.
Nope.
He says, ah, fuck it. And like right after dumping her in, he falls through and gets washed down the waterfall and dies where she was rested.
Right.
That's the end of our story.
At the age of 77.
Oh,
right?
Which is crazy old for that time.
Yeah, that is actually really.
I mean, think about what these two went through to end up together.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So, of course, they have to end together, right?
Yeah.
And they're survived by their children. She did have a daughter, like I said, and
mm-hmm.
their son became, one of them became a successful businessman himself.
Yeah.
One of them was a senator or a governor. And then their daughter married a deputy chief of something fancy, prestigious. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, she had kids of her own, but it's believed that they're not his because she's probably more oversexed than her mother. And there is a sequel to this book, and I really hope it's about her.
There is another.
So we're going to get to that.
I can't remember if it's about her or not.
I hope
did
it
look
is,
it up,
but we'll find out.
Oops.
We will find
out. We will all find out together. Hey everyone, it's me, your boy Matt. You know, here at Paperback Bromance, we like to drink boxed wine, aka smut juice, while we're recording. But when I'm looking for a break from alcohol, I love to go to Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. They've got the citrus social tonic that will get you up and ready for any occasion. There's the strawberry bliss that's great for chilling out on the couch and watching a movie, reading a book, or watching your favorite sports team. Of course, at night, there's the blueberry nightcap. I drink one every night and I sleep like a baby. Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day.
Well,
and that segues into our next segment.
Yeah. Phoebe reads the steamy. So Phoebe
does.
How steamy was this book? Why don't we talk about it?
Okay. So the first scene that I read was about Alex Todd and Elizabeth, right?
I believe so.
Her name was Elizabeth.
Yeah, her name was Elizabeth at the
time. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so they meet and it's a very sweet love kind of relationship. Like they're friends and then they become lovers. And we know the story from David.
It's very sweet.
It is. It's so romantic and very cute. And she finds out she's pregnant. And then he's like, we got to get married and we got to move away.
Because he's a consummate gentleman.
Yes. Yeah. And he doesn't want to ruin her reputation or anything like that.
Right.
So it's very cute. The next scene, I read, is actually Esther on the train trying to seduce Mosby.
Honeypot.
Yes.
Pussy trap.
Yeah. So there's a little snip that you read that she's like exposing her ankle. It's like she
asked. Scandalous.
Accidentally, in quotation marks, because no one can see me, that she ripped her dress and it exposed her ankle. And that was very seductive.
I love a good ankle.
But I have a well-turned calf. I don't know if you guys knew this.
I've got pretty good calves as well. I don't know if Phoebe has bragged about my calves before. She just stares at
should.
Them.
I
not
do.
As st- of late.
And then Faye gets all upset about it.
Yeah, she gets very angry. Anyway, so she slips Mosby a note and is like, meet me at my cabin and all that fun stuff. And she seduces him and
she shows a birthmark, right?
She does. So she like exposes her chest because she's like, I'm the same person that you met years and years ago.
Oh,
and
yeah. She's got that strawberry shaped birthmark.
It was the best sex of his life.
Yes.
It was.
Yes. So she's trying to convince him that that was her. And he doesn't believe her at first. And he's like, oh, but she is wearing a veil and gloves like she was the last time. She starts to expose her chest.
He didn't remember the
chest.
First time he had sex with her, which was not
voluntary.
It was rapey.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the first time.
I think we skipped over. That was not steamy.
Yeah.
So we did
no,
not
you didn't
make
get to
it.
Read that one.
No. Yeah, I thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to subjugate you to that.
Spare you from that.
Good. So anyway, so she finally convinces him that this is the same person that he was just like obsessed with way back in the day at the brothel.
She knew how to ride that disco stick.
She did. So they meet up in a little back suite and they make sweet love.
If you want to call it that.
It wasn't really like sweet.
No, it's not.
It just was.
Because it was
to him. It was
to him
pretty
it was.
Awesome.
To her it was.
she
gross.
Just like wanted to vomit the whole time.
But just much like, I guess we can't call back that yet. I was going to say is Leona. It? But no,
we're not there yet.
No, not there yet.
Pussy trapping, though.
Pussy trapping.
She pushed pussy
sex as a weapon.
It is. It is. And this lady, Esther, knows how to use it. So the next scene we jump to is kind of like a backtrack to the past.
Was it with Moretta?
So it's not Moretta that's first, I believe.
Right.
She meets, it's a scene with the Sun Brother Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, the weird sweat tent.
Yeah.
It's the weird sweat tent scene.
Yeah, so this is like pretty steamy, this whole thing.
Literally, but. I mean, it's a sweat lodge. So.
There is a sweat lodge involved. I didn't mean it that way, but yeah.
Oh, the dead
yeah,
pun is
so
strong.
It's like, oh. Both. So Esther is in her tent and she can't really sleep. She goes outside to just get some fresh air.
Taking
like
the
that.
Air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Midnight
and
stroll, look at the stars.
She sees through the shadows of the tent that Solana is trying to, you know, seduce her husband, Milwaukee. And
I mean, he's only half chub.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
not
yeah. It's not really working.
Got something else on his mind.
We're halfway there. Yeah, Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she hears him say, like, no, like straight up, like, no. And he gets up and Esther quickly hides in the shadows and watches as
one does when they're creepily watching someone.
Yeah, she was a little turned on, a little embarrassed by the situation.
But not touching herself.
Nope.
That is not implied.
Nope, just hiding in the woods.
Anyway,
yeah.
Just taking a peek.
Yeah, so Milwaukee walks to his sweat lodge tent thingy.
Dick is swinging.
Yeah, buck naked and just goes in and
just
closes.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Watch out for those mosquitoes. That's rough.
Oh, it's like winter time, though, I believe.
Oh, good. Yeah, so more reason to be naked outside.
But them Native Americans, man, they had the body.
They did. They were resilient.
Yes.
Chiseled.
Still are.
Lean.
Well, just
sinewy. Anyway.
So Solana sees Esther in the shadows, and she approaches Esther and says, I need you to fix my husband. And
he's got that limp dick. Someone needs to get it excited.
She says that she implies that he has a thing for Esther.
An obsession.
Yeah. And it's making him like
limp dicked.
Limp dicked.
Physically ill. is how they describe it. He's ill. I didn't consider that maybe it was limp dick, but I guess maybe that's what they were talking about. I don't know. I've only read the seamy parts, guys.
That's true.
I don't know what's going on. But Solana says, please fix my husband. And Esther's like, hell no, that's your husband. You love him. She's like, yeah, that's why I want you to do this for me. Esther says, okay, like this woman's been helping me out with my son. We'll do this. It's going to be weird, but okay.
Worst cuckold situation ever. Hey, go bang my husband so he'll shut up.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was.
It's a very strange proposition.
So she walks into...
This is the foundation of stepbrother, stepsister.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's close. Yeah, because they're son, brother, and sister.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Laying that foundation.
Ooh.
So she walks into the sweat lodge. He doesn't notice that she's there and is smoking his peace pipe.
Smoking a pipe.
He's smoking a pipe. Yes.
I do love a good pipe.
And it definitely has some type of, we'll call it medicinal properties. Esther's breathing in the smoke and she's definitely
getting a little out there.
A little out there.
A little
easy.
Yeah,
out there. Yep.
So it probably is a peace pipe then if you're getting sleepy.
Yeah. So she's like working up the
courage.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
She's working up the courage to approach him and he still hasn't noticed her. And so she drops her cloak to the ground and she's only wearing like a camisole.
Yeah, she's got that boyish frame and them sweet ass titties.
That huge rack, that fantastic rack they keep talking
about. Yeah, and he hears the cloak dropping on the ground and he turns around and he sees Esther there and she's looking real fine.
It's like, ooh, I want me some of that.
A smoke she show. Straight up says, your wife sent me. Let's do this.
Let's go. That's come on, boy.
Let's fix this sickness
that's
upon you.
That's not a direct quote, everyone, just so you know.
She says, let's
go,
boy.
I don't think
boy,
we have any direct quotes for this book.
Get it in.
And he looks at her, and there's this whole internal monologue in his mind. He's like, man, women are so dumb. He's like, I love my wife. She's great.
That's sexist. We've already had the racism. Now we've got the sexism.
Sorry.
Again,
this
written
is
by a man.
The conversation going on in his brain is that women like to overcomplicate things. I now see that my wife truly, truly cares about me, and she is just amazing.
At least that came out of this.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm just going to get this lady a little high.
A lot high.
So he says to her, he's like, we'll do this, but I need you to smoke off of this pipe first.
Yeah, it really turns me on when I see a woman smoking a hot pipe.
Right. And Esther's like, okay, but I don't know how to do it. And she takes a little hit off the pipe and starts coughing. And she's like, no, wait, I can do better.
So she actually didn't know how to do it.
She
wasn't doing
do
the
it.
Cute thing where you got to teach me. I don't know
more
how.
Like, bleh. She was dying.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but, you know.
Well, the more you cough, the more it messes you up.
She took a heroic risk.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes. Yep. And she's like, no, I can do better. So she takes a better hit off the pipe, and then she takes another one. And the next thing she knows is she kind of, like, passes out. So Milwaukee carries her back to the tent with Solana inside and their
son.
And
Moses.
Moses.
Yep.
And
they're all in there.
He lays Esther down next
different
to
time,
the,
different.
To
it's a
the
nice
little
family
boys
affair.
To sleep off the medicinal herb she inhaled. And she kind of wakes up out of it and sees shadows on the other side of the fire. And she realizes that Milwaukee and Solana are...
They're humping.
They're humping.
They're going to town.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And she's just is like so happy for her friends that they made up and are better and she didn't have to do anything she would have regretted.
Can we call that a secondhand orgasm?
It was. Oh. Yeah, she definitely was pretty turned on.
So we've got cuckolding and voyeurism now all in the same.
All in one.
Yeah.
All right. So that was a pretty steamy scene. Literally.
Literally.
And figuratively.
Oh, yeah.
So we jump to Esther. It's the future, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't read all of it, so it's a little back and forth. And
which
it's a little strange. And The peephole.
The peephole. So this is...
I love a good peephole.
I think like it does.
This is after she had reunited with Moretta, but then he had to leave due to...
Racism?
Yes, due to racism.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's bouncing between her house in San Francisco and her house on the American River. The village hasn't quite... No, I think the village has been decimated at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, she finds Mosby.
She finds Mosby.
Yep.
And is
frequenting a brothel.
She's like, oh, I'm gonna kill him.
Working on pussy trapping him once again.
Right, right.
Pussy trap.
Pussy trap.
Or honeypot.
Or honeypot.
Or there. Or there.
That's the more PC way to say it. I'm not sure there is a PC way to say it.
I think it sounds a little hotter.
I do.
Honeypot.
Honeypot. I agree.
Or honey trap. Yeah, you can say honey trap.
Honey trap. Honey trap. Okay. Honeypot trap.
Honeypot trap.
Anyway.
I don't know. I learned it from Arthur.
She,
I'm probably just going to keep saying pussy trap.
Yeah.
Realizes that Mosby is frequenting this brothel and is like, I got to get into this. I need
to. She's a
terrible
person.
I'm going to kill him. And this is how.
Yep. Sex
as
a weapon.
She approaches the madam of the brothel.
A little side note.
Yeah.
The madam and Esther had had an interaction years beforehand.
Oh.
At an, man, it was when San Francisco was still being built up as a city.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact premise, but the madam had given Esther a tea to drink. And it was, in fact, drugged because she had kind of gained an inkling that Esther had money.
And she was trying to rob her.
She was gonna drug and rob her.
So it's a roofie tea. She just keeps getting roofied.
Yeah. Left and right, dude. Anyway, go ahead.
So the madam's boyfriend is in trouble. And Esther finds
gambling
out.
Gambling debts.
Yes, gambling debts.
As one does.
Esther finds out and says, I will pay off his debt. Which is like $7,000.
Which is a shitload of money in the 1800s.
So much money.
That's multiple houses.
So many houses. She says, I'll pay his debt off, but I need to learn the ways of the sexy. And you're going to help me.
Yeah, a fantastic rack only gets you so far.
Yeah,
you need to know how to use it.
You
gotta
know all the things. And
we're not talking about just like, how do I do Kegels?
No.
No.
No, it's not just Kegels.
So the madam says, I have this woman that can show you. So I have a hole in a painting and you can sit there and we can watch as this woman performs her duties to get paid.
But she pays $7,000 for that. I'm sure she charges the regular customers like 50 cents to look through the
people. That just gives you a rough idea exactly how much money this woman has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Found all those fancy yellow rocks.
Pretty yellow rocks.
All of them. Yep. It's the following night. And at first, Esther's really hoping it's Mosby. But then she finds out that it's a very large man. Large as in weight.
Yep.
Not tall.
Nope.
Tall.
He's round.
Tall. He's very round.
Rotund, if you will.
Ooh.
And the...
He's got to lift his folds up to get to
okay.
I'm just guessing.
I don't want to know.
I'm asking the tough
questions.
It is
the 1800s, so we're not... I don't think
we're
that fat yet.
Probably not.
Not that fat?
Probably not.
Do you think he can see it when he looks down?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
I would say no.
So he's... Yeah, okay.
So the woman is performing her tasks with this man, and she's doing it with great expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Esther's watching through the peephole, and the madam's like, don't worry.
And kind of getting off.
Yeah, she likes it. She likes it a lot. But the madam's like, don't worry. The men don't know that you're watching, but my ladies, my girls, they might know, but they don't care. So Esther is getting... Real
They're probably
up.
Used to it.
She learns a lot of things that night. And then she says to the madam, okay, I'll pay you the rest of the debt so that I can pose as one of your girls. But I'm looking for a very specific person. And it is none other than
Luther Mosby.
Luther Mosby.
Son of a bitch.
Esquire.
Right?
Scoundrel.
She's like, okay, I can arrange this. Esther goes out and buys a purple hat with a veil.
Lavender,
that's right. Lavender hat and veil.
I love that.
And they're silk with the gloves.
Lavender gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she's still missing those fingers.
Yes.
Yes.
Still do decent handy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gives you the old three-way.
It's a silk and handy.
Yeah.
Hey, who doesn't love silk?
Okay, so...
Yeah, she's wearing this lavender outfit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
No. Yeah.
Looking
it's
hot as
literally
hell.
Just gloves and a veil.
And a hat.
And a, yeah, and the
and
hat.
A, and a giant
yeah,
hat.
I just and, picture and the madam, it together.
The madam know. Said that, you know, oh, well, this guy's got some kinks, so he'll probably go for
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was down.
And she's wearing nothing else. Just yeah. got her great rack.
So he
definitely down for it.
Opens the door, and he's like, oh, yeah, she really did, like, set me up with a good one tonight.
I don't
and
like it.
And there she is, just naked, except for the gloves, the hat, and the veil. They get together, and they start doing their thing. And Esther, meanwhile, has hidden a gun under her pillow.
Uh-oh.
Because she's like, I'm going to kill this guy. This is happening tonight.
Yeah.
He's real, really, really, really...
excited?
Well endowed.
Oh, none of those things. He's really
yes,
rough.
Yes, he is.
Really rough with Esther.
Yes.
The gun falls from the bed and there
yeah,
is a
clatters.
Clunk and he's like, what is that? And she's like, oh, I don't know.
Weird.
That was my orgasm.
Damn those rats.
Throws his cigarette out the window.
Cigar.
That's yeah. right. It was a cigar. And it starts what we now know.
He's smoking a cigar while they're humping?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And then he's, when he, right before he wants to like go to town, he throws it out the window.
Yeah.
Starts the Great
Starts
Fire of San
the
Francisco.
Great Fire of San Francisco.
The horrible fire of San Francisco.
And so he's we'll jumping across like the balcony and stuff. He's trying to get away and she's still fumbling around trying to find that frigging gun. She cannot find it. Cannot find it. And he's like, what are you doing? You're going to burn and die. And she's like, it's fine. I'll be all right.
Yeah, this whole time she's naked.
I'm already covered in frostbite, so I might as well get some burn scars, too.
Trying to find this
frigging covered
gun.
In frostbite.
Well, by being naked out in the woods.
Yeah.
On your ski trip.
Yeah. So he runs off, scampers off after, like, the best sex he's ever had in his whole life.
Yeah, can we pause for a second and be like, this is the best sex he's ever had?
Apparently.
He got to manhandle this woman and start a fire.
Yeah,
and so
maybe it was...
That's what his kink is.
Yes. Hey,
we don't kink shame around here.
No.
No.
No, I just wanted to pause and comment
it is, it. It is an interesting kink, I would say.
She jumps out of the window because she's like, I can't find this gun. And I am actually going to die.
And the yeah. building's on fire.
Yeah.
So we got to get out of here.
She jumps out the window into the arms of our friend
Moretta.
Moretta.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's been making some really fancy saddles.
Yeah.
Making some saddles.
Yeah.
He's got a tannery yeah. going on.
Yeah.
No. Just making the saddles.
Just saddles.
Yeah. Yeah.
He he's buys not making the leather. The oh.
Right.
He's not. He's yeah.
And then all I can assume, because again, just the steamies.
Just the steamies.
It jumps to Moretta, Esther's cabin.
And they're banging.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just assuming.
Probably no,
she
no,
bangs
they're
everyone
not.
Else
no,
she
no
runs
they're not. Not. They aren't banging.
No, this is shortly after the Milwaukee incident.
Yes.
And
again, it's a flip-flop. So timeline.
Moretta has been helping her manage the mining of the gold.
Right.
Okay. So and he's helping with the transport to the banks and stuff like that. So he's almost like head of security.
Oh, so this is before he runs away because
so
racism.
Now what we got is a little, it's before he runs away because of the racism.
Yeah.
No, this is after.
Oh, yeah, no.
This is after.
I don't honestly know. I don't know because I just get.
No, this is after. This is after. He had run away from the racism, but that's how they had initially begun their relationship.
Right.
He was essentially head of security. So she was banging the bodyguard.
Yeah.
All right. Like yeah. a little fuck buddy situation.
But again, they weren't banging at this point.
Not right now.
But he decides to leave in the middle of the night to go seek a vendetta against no other than
Luther
Mosby.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. So he's going after Mosby because of the bear bullfight fiasco. Esther is like, no, I can't lose this guy. I'm not really into him, but like he's valuable to me and my assets. And I'm going to make sure he does not go kill himself trying to go after Mosby.
Because he's a nice guy.
He's a nice yeah, guy, but he's also useful. So she
sex
goes.
Sex is a weapon. Here we go.
Sex is a weapon.
Yet again, Jessica Camisol runs up to her horse.
She knows
bareback.
Exactly.
She goes chasing after
That's got to be a
Moretta.
Rough ride.
Yeah, she woke up in the middle of the morning.
Yeah, in the early morning hours,
just before dawn.
Yeah, goes chasing after him, catches up to him because he slows down because I'm sure he heard her. There's no way he didn't.
Well, she's probably like, ow, yeah, bareback with no pants on. Come on.
God. Anyway.
Get real.
And she's like, you can't do this. The only way I'm going to be able to stop you is if I just.
With my body.
Give you my body.
Like, hey, look at this rack.
She drops her camisole to the ground, buck ass naked. And he's like, oh, all right.
You have my attention.
Yeah. He lays
six
down.
To noon.
Let me take off this well-fashioned saddle.
There's snow everywhere. He lays down a blanket. Nice.
She's going to get frostbite all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
not from this friction, bro.
Oh.
They just take each other, and it's very steamy. Mm-hmm. It is quite steamy. She's like, man, I feel really bad because I don't like this guy, but he is in love with me. She's just like having this internal monologue of like, I feel so bad, but I don't want him to die.
Yeah, she's like hoping that she will eventually fall in love
with him. She does. Yeah. She's like, maybe eventually I'll fall in love with him and everything will be all right. And he kind of sees this conflict going on across her face and is like, it's all right. You'll learn to love me. Look at that flower over in the snow. It grew when there was nothing else there.
Poetic.
So poetic. Mm-hmm. He's so happy. And he's just like, I don't need to go and die. Because this pussy saved me.
Another pussy trap. It keeps happening.
Yep. So that's Phoebe reads the steamy. I read the steamy bits. They didn't make any sense to me, but hey.
They don't have to.
You know, I wasn't even sure that Elizabeth and Esther were the same person until I heard David tell me
that's true. Yeah, true story.
Well, I thought the whole thing took place on a train.
And I honestly think that, you know, you read them in the right order and I just got them because I was reading the story.
Right. Yeah. It's all good.
The timeline is.
I was a little confused.
Oh, it jumps everywhere.
Yeah. But it all makes sense now. Okay. It does. I really love these days, boys. Yeah.
They're good days. We have a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah.
I love doing this. This is our first episode of Paperback Bromance.
And man,
it wasn't a journey. So I hope you all enjoyed. This has been a very fun time. Thank you for patiently waiting because, of course, we started advertising this way before we started releasing episodes.
Well, we wanted to go from 6 to 12.
Yeah.
We wanted to go from 6 to 12. David, why don't we wrap things up here?
All right, man. That was our show. Paperback Bromance is written by David Joseph and produced and edited by Matt Mulry. Social media by Matt as well. Logo artwork done by Phoebe Mulray. Our book this episode was California Woman by Daniel Knapp, copyright 1980. And please leave a review, an awesome review if you can. Rate, follow.
Share with your friends.
Share with your friends. Tell everybody, even the people you don't like, about our show. And hopefully we will see you again.
I have been Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads your steamy.